This is Susie Thorpe
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yesterday, I went to visit John Tordiff and Maurice Reeves' beautiful garden. Absolutely spectacular. Now, they're part of the Open Garden Scheme this weekend, the 6th and 7th of July. They are round the corner from here. They're in Norfolk Terrace. Can you believe that? Now, their garden, their tiny garden, and John and Maurice won't be offended when I say this because I just want to reiterate, is a beautiful, tiny garden. And what they've done to it is absolutely incredible. It's based on a Moorish theme that captures all their travels and the work that they've experienced over the years. I mean, it really is truly spectacular. And they even won third place in the BBC Small Gardens Award last year. It's incredibly coloured, it's densely planted, that not a lot of people know about it. And the gardens opens for the national scheme this weekend. And they're also, John is part of the Open Studios, the Cambridge Open Studios as well. Now, I went along with my mother-in-law, Margaret Thorpe, otherwise known as Margie. She is my delightful, I love her, my mother-in-law. And she came along because she's a horticulturist and she's designed lots of gardens too. She is fantastic. She was so excited to be able to come along as well. So we came along and we went to see them yesterday. And one of the first questions I asked John and Maurice is how they ended up in Cambridge back in 2009.
Well, we sold the house in Hackney. And we're looking to move out of London, and because there was a property in Umbria that we had still, we needed to be close to Stansted Airport. And the other reason was that I have family living in Bedford, so we were also reasonably close to Bedford, but I suppose most of all because of the cultural life that we hoped Cambridge might offer us, and that has proved to be very much to the good, because musical life in Cambridge is second to none, of course.
And we actually, we must mention as well, you are part of the Open Art Studios as well.
Oh yes, I am.
Yes,
I am.
So we're allowed to mention apart from, you've got beautiful pictures up all over this house.
Apart from opening this coming weekend for the National Garden Scheme, then the two following weekends in the month of July, it's my Open Studios. Yes.
So, but recently, I think it was last year, you won the BBC Best Small Gardens, didn't you?
Yes, that's right.
Yes. And were you surprised? I know you entered hoping to win, but were you surprised to have got an award?
Yes. I mean, it was the whole country, after all. So, I was jolly surprised. We came third in the end.
And Maurice, did you find that you were just as excited as John about winning the award?
I mean, absolutely.
It's a joint effort, wasn't
it? I mean, he didn't tell me that he'd entered at all, you see. And then one day he came along and said, look what's happened. We're in the short list of seven left. And then, you know, it was a case of hanging on. And eventually we got the... I think we were the best small garden because there were three categories. We got the third prize, but there we were.
Lovely. Now, we're talking about the beautiful arches. Now, these are very Moorish, and you wanted them to be very Moorish, both of you. But you made them yourself, John, didn't you?
That's right, yes.
So what's inside that beautiful arch? Because it looks fantastic and it looks so authentic, but there is a story behind that.
Well, I thought, as I did the design, basically it's four plastic drain pipes. And above that, an arch is cut out of what's called marine ply, which is unrottable ply, covered over some sort of metal leaf work, which I bought on the Beehive from Home Sense, a very good shop.
It works really well. It does. And you've got this amazing illusion, of just space. And I suppose a view in many ways as well. You've got views coming out from all the mirrors, which
that's one of the effects, is the fact that there's a mirror in the centre there at the end of the path means it's almost as if you're looking beyond the garden, and it's twice the length.
Yeah, exactly. John, you are also part of the Open Art Studios, and Morris...
I make books, actually.
You make books.
Yeah, I've always been a photographer, and I put them into albums. And when I retired, I thought I want to be able to do it properly. So I went on some courses and learned how to do proper bookbinding. So now, sometimes it's photographs, sometimes it's other texts that interest me. And I start right from the beginning on the computer, choosing the layer, choosing the font, printing it, binding it, leather, wood.
So they're all on display as well.
On Saturday and Sunday. Fantastic. Yes. So every visitor coming in on Saturday.
Some of them, because there's 139 of them at the moment. But a few of them.
As you say, you're the head waterer.
Absolutely. Every evening I do all the pots. I mean, I can't tell you how many there are. There are so many of them. And then the things that are planted in the beds are watered by an irrigation scheme, and then, as I've said, John does most of the work, and I raise seeds and bulbs things and plants and things like that, and I try to get a bit more variety into the garden. John talks about it being a nice vulgar effect, but for example, we've got these Earl Grey sweet peas, which I thought, well, nobody will have ever heard of those, so when they come, we can, you know, they'll point them out and say, what on earth are you growing there? And it's just different, and so I try to, you know, just have a little slightly different influence.
Morris is in charge of the seed and bulb catalogues. And I have to say, prior to July, we have a very nice show of tulips in sort of late April, early May. And Morris does all that. Mm. Yes.
Do you find, though, that with small gardens, Morris was saying earlier that you wanted to do away with grass. Grass was not really of interest to you.
Elbow the grass.
See, a lot of people really adhere to grasses. I think it's a very English thing, isn't it? A lawn, a bed, and somewhere else. But you've gone against that.
Yeah, well, I think a lawn of some sort, it can be useful if sort of lying out in the sun is important to you, or if you want a children's play area or something. Yes, I see the point of grass, but otherwise I think it's more trouble than it's worth, really. Always, it's far better to gravel the thing or to pave it.
If you're going to have a lawn, I would have thought it's got to be like a bowling green. It's got to be absolutely perfect. No weeds, no bare patches, and of a sort of colour and health that shows off anything else that's around it. Mm. Wouldn't you agree with
that? Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk about, there's always challenges with any garden. What was one of your biggest challenges about creating this garden? What did you think, I'm not sure I can do this, but I'm going to have a go?
Well, I suppose most of it is in pots. And getting height at the back of the border. We've got three or four pots which are on raised stands. And it took a long time for me to sort of see how I could get these pots up on a high position, so that one is looking at the garden, you see a whole bank of flowers that starts at, say, 5 feet and comes right down to, slopes right down to the ground, and so that was a challenge.
It allows you to get more plants in, doesn't
it? Does.
if everything's at the same level, then you're much more limited, whereas if they can start and then in steps go upwards, there's more that you can see at one go looking out.
And also, you were saying that sometimes, because some of the flowers are in pots, you are able to change the dynamics of the garden. You can change it to a colour coordination or a feature that you want.
I'm constantly rearranging the pots according to which pot of flowers looks better than another pot. The ones that are not making a good enough show go to the back. Those that are really making an effort push more forward, and so on. So that's happening all the time.
And it also means you can have more plants in the garden. If they're planted, they're there, and as they're immovable, then your picture never changes. But, I mean, you saw that at the back behind that screen, we've got a whole line of lilies and other plants waiting to come out.
Oh, yes.
And so they'll take the place of things that are going. So it's continually changing that way. It allows you to get more into the garden.
We're talking about more into the garden. You have this beautiful pool, this tiled pool, and you were telling us about how you got the tiles from wherever, but you could, over on a flight back to Cambridge. Where do they come from?
Well, to begin with, I mean, you can't have a Moorish garden without out the sound of trickling water. It has to be there. So again, in a very small garden, how do you get, what sort of pond do you create? And I thought that it needed to be very small. So but we did a trip to Rajasthan about the time we were moving into this house, and in Jaipur we found this wonderful tile place, and we bought them there and bought all these tiles back in our luggage, which was an amazing thing to do.
They were really meant for the house in Umbria, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
They were planned for that. We never got round to doing
that's
it.
That's right. Yes.
So, I mean, there was no problem getting them from Jaipur to Umbria on a commercial flight, but getting them back here from Umbria meant that they had to come up in bits in our luggage on Ryanair.
Yeah.
And probably wrapped beautifully so they didn't actually break in transit.
Right. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Are your neighbours intrigued by your lovely garden?
Well, no, not really.
One of the great things is that since the fence all the way around is 6 feet on the roadside and 7 feet on the other side, most of them don't really know what's going on in here. And, I mean, the other factor of it is that since we're in this sort of U-shaped little sort of semi cul-de-sac, there's very little traffic, and so it's as quiet here as being in the country.
It is.
Well, so you're secluded.
We noticed that, Mark. We did walk down here. Yeah.
It's a secret garden.
It is a secret.
It's a riot of colour and absolutely amazing. As I look around right now, I see cosmos, I see achilleas, I see belugoniums, I see petunias.
Nicotiana
and the said sweet peas, cleomies. Yeah. It is just incredible picture. If I was, well, John is a painter, but if I were a painter, I'd get busy right away. It's just enchanting.
It must also be said that nearly everything that you see comes off the two flower stalls on Cambridge Market, who sell lovely plants at very reasonable prices.
What do you think makes a special garden? I mean, everybody's different in how they produce, but what would you think would be the best thing about a garden? What makes it special?
You want the visitor to the garden to be, let's say, taken out of themselves, transported to somewhere strange and wonderful that they're surprised to find themselves in. I think that's the important thing.
Yeah.
You walk in from a Victorian, very ordinary-looking street into something which is a total contrast, and that is what's meant to hit you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you, as I said before, you've lived in Hackney, you've had a beautiful garden in Hackney years ago, you've had a lovely house in Umbria and cared for that garden, obviously you've come here. From all your experiences, are they now in this garden, from all the things that you've seen and done, do you find that this is where you put them now?
Yes, I think they are. Yeah. Yes, this garden is of a size that, considering how old we are, it's just right for us, and you know, we can manage the effort that's required for a garden of this size. Yeah.
Is it nicer to be truer to yourself when you go into a garden area and pick up all these beautiful plants? Sometimes people buy plants because they're the things to buy, they're the in things to buy, as opposed to being more creative and true to yourself. Do you find that you obviously do that, that you don't worry about trends, you just do things that are important to you, but other people don't because they're more frightened about doing it?
I think you've got to leap in, really. Just jump in, dive in head first and hope for the best. Yes, I mean, it's work out for you. Take the risks.
Yes, take the risks. I like it.
You were talking about imagination earlier on. And I think, you know, for somebody that's not quite sure what to do, this is where some of the magazines that are available, like The Gardener's World, that we've been lucky with, will give ideas without actually forcing you into something. If you look at something in a magazine and think, oh, I like the look of that, that would fit into my garden, then I think that is where, you know, you could make some progress.
Yeah, and not be pressured to think that you can only fit a certain amount of things, but actually have a go.
Exactly, experiment. Yeah.
I do think that John, as an artist, has had a huge input here, because looking at his paintings on the wall of the house as well as the flowers in the garden, there's great taste in this whole establishment. It's really, really special.
When we're open under the NGS on Saturday and Sunday, it's also the art gallery, and there will also, because Morris is a bookbinder, there'll be a display of Morris's books on that table down there.
Well, that's actually good to mention, actually, because it is happening, the Open Gardens, this weekend, the 6th and 7th of July.
Yeah. 11 o'clock till 6, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m.
And they can see this wonderful, wonderful garden, and then they can see your paintings as well, and the books.
And they can sit around here on the sofa,
tea,
in the armchair,
coffee, wine, etc.
And refresh themselves.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's been so nice. Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Oh, that was John Tordiff and Morris Reeve talking to myself, Susie Thorpe, and my mum-in-law, my wonderful mum-in-law, Margaret Thorpe, otherwise known as Margie, in John on Maurice's garden in Norfolk Terrace. And opening gardens is happening this weekend, 6th and 7th of July. And as John said, it starts at 11 and finishes at 6 on both days, Saturday and Sunday. And if you get a chance to go along, look up on the website, which is great, which is ngs.org.uk, and it has all the Open Gardens in Cambridge this weekend, and I just really recommend going along. They are so lovely, and the garden, as I said, is spectacular.